Hey, everybody. It's the Freedom Fiends. We are back. This is Jeremy. I'm here with Shane this evening, night, whenever you guys are listening to this. Oh, yeah, the cat's out of the bag already. Michael already let that one loose. Yay, we're podcasting now. Yay. No more late night parties for us. We're getting too old for that anyway, I think. At least I know I am. And you and I are the same age, so I'm going to rope you in with me, whether you like it or not, Shane. Anyway, so this is The Fiends. We are brought to you, as always, with a BIPCOT new government license. You can find out more about that at BIPCOT.org. So, Shane, it's been a while since we've talked. This is actually our second or third try at this now. We're having some technical issues earlier, but hopefully those are past us. But it's been a while since we've talked on the air, as it were. You haven't been having the best of times lately. But I kept prodding you tonight because we had scheduled to do this, and I said, "Yeah, you're going to come on, and we're going to do a therapy session. So, we need to make you feel better. So, I made you come record with me tonight. So, what's going on, man? Tell me and our audience your woes, so we can help you get past this difficult.
Okay.
Point
well, I'm not really sure where to start. I might do it in a different order than we did earlier.
That's fine, but, man. Nobody knows about that. That's lost in the ether, just like the episode John and I tried to record last week. Let's forget about that.
So I guess we'll go back a few months, and I was seeing someone for the last 6 years, and I moved down to Cincinnati to be with her, and you know, things are always complicated sometimes, and it didn't exactly work out, and she actually moved to Michigan in January, but then I helped her move all of her stuff out of this apartment just this last weekend, and I've been working really hard the last 6 months, I guess, total, and the last job I had was a real killer, and I was supposed to only work 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, but then they got super busy, and I started working 12-plus hours, 6 days a week, and it was killing me. It was a high-stress job. And it really wasn't worth it. And so I started looking for a new job. And I thought I had found one that was really promising, and they made a great impression. And they took me to Tennessee for my orientation this weekend. Well, Monday and Tuesday, they put me in a hotel, and all the meals were catered and everything. And they seemed to really go the extra mile to make their employees feel like they're part of the family.
Yeah, I've never had that experience. So right off the bat, it sounds great.
Yeah. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because, once again, I've found another job that says one thing and does another. And my first day on the job was today. And last night I got a phone call that the location and the hours that I was supposed to be working were changing. And they did a contract with another company to do work inside of their location, which is what I was looking forward to because it's heated. And they have a lot more rules there when it comes to, like, you know, say lifting and things like that. Anything over, say, 75 pounds, you're supposed to team lift. And they have lots of, you know, good new equipment, and even just, you know, wrapping these pallets. Because I work in a warehouse. I've been doing, like, warehouse work for a long time. And so I ended up at a different place today, and it was like a shipping terminal hub where they had like most of their dock doors open, and it was really cold today. We've had some nice weather recently, but it was snowing and it was cold today, and I wasn't really prepared to worry working in the cold. But not only that, it's super dirty, and they give us these uniforms that we're supposed to keep clean because, I mean, it comes out of our paycheck, and these uniforms that we have, you know, we pay them over 6 weeks, and I'm supposed to keep it clean, but, just today, like, I got real dirty, and I kind of ripped my one pair of pants.
Wow.
But then the badge that I'm supposed to wear and display at all times, they gave it to me at first on a clip, which actually broke after like an hour. And then I moved it over to a lanyard, which after another hour also broke, but it broke in some trailer, and I don't know where, and the badge got lost. And so it's going to take them a week to replace my badge, and that's also going to come out of my paycheck. But in the meantime, I've been trying to talk with my manager, you know, I want to talk with my manager about getting moved to the location that we agreed upon for the hours that we agreed upon. But in order to do that, I actually have to have my badge. So I'm going to be stuck in this particular location for the next week or so while they fill the slots at the other location. And hopefully by next week, you know, I'll still be able to get in there, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they really will work with their employees on this kind of stuff. But in the meantime, I just have to bite the bullet and endure the cold and the dirt and, you know, stick it through.
Yeah.
But I also...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Or stick through it. But I also just got a phone call right before the show, like as we were wanting to come on here. And I'm actually being sued now for some medical bills that I had from 2015. I was in an accident and had a lot of surgery and physical therapy. And I had auto insurance and medical insurance through my employer, which was supposed to cover that. And the auto insurance was disputing the liability of the claim, and the medical insurance was trying to find, you know, other loopholes to get out of paying, such as
that is what they do. That is what they do.
And so I've been after them for
is to not pay out.
Yeah, I've been after them. I mean, what's the point of having insurance if they're not going to pay?
I'm with you on that. But I mean, a lot of people think that it's like some evil scheme by the insurance companies. It's like, well, no, that's just the reality. Like they want to take your money and they want to do everything in their power not to pay out. So, I mean, it's unfortunate when it ends up in these situations that they really shouldn't be, but you know, they're just trying to look at their bottom line. And that's, you know, as a business, I have to I don't have to, but I choose to understand and respect that. But when you're the one dealing with it, it's totally like, I get it, man. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Cause like, what did I do wrong here? Like, I pay you guys. Isn't this what you're supposed to be here for?
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, when it rains, it pours, you know? So, you know, I lost my girlfriend, and I got a really crappy job, and I got a new job, which I really hope is not crappy, and I hope they will work with me when it comes to having to go to Indiana later this month for my court, where they might try to garnish my wages, which... you know, I'm living on my own now and paying all the bills in this same apartment that I was living in before and splitting with someone. And I mean, I probably could afford it, but I work too hard to be able to lose my money to stupid crap like that. Yeah. And so it's just been a really bad couple months, I guess.
Yeah, that does sound it, man. I mean, I just recently put out an episode of my other podcast, Seeds of Liberty, titled, you know, Jeremy and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day after that children's book. I probably should have saved that title for you because I hadn't talked to you yet. And, man, I mean, it's all bad stuff. And, you know, just having been through some of these things, you know, through the course of my life as well, you know, like I said, try to do some therapy here for you, try to make you feel a little better. I mean, I know that, you know, I know that you're self-aware enough to realize that definitely some of the, because if somebody just listening to this from the outside may say, oh, well, sure, a lot of these things he brought upon himself. And I know you, I know you're self-aware enough to recognize that some of these things probably were in your sphere of control that you neglected. But like, when it comes to the work thing, like you said, like literally the night before, like how many hours was that? Did you literally have noticed that, oh, by the way, everything you had planned up until this point is changed? Like, well, they give you less than 12 hours before you were supposed to be on shift or something like that.
I guess it was about 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I was still driving back from Tennessee when I got that phone call, you know, expecting, you know, to be able to show up at a different location that was heated and well equipped and a lot cleaner.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's that one completely out of your control. And that is a really kind of, you know, Schumer move, a Schumery move for somebody to be able to do that. I mean, regardless, again, I usually side with the side, you know, the side of business more often than not, just as the dirty capitalist I am. But even in these situations, as somebody who's run a business for years, I think that's really a scummy thing to do to somebody, to do to anybody, much less a brand new employee.
Yeah. Well, for the record, I too am a capitalist, and I do understand the situation that my new employer is in, because this is a new customer slash contract that they have with this other business. I'm not going to name names, but you know, they're getting this whole thing started up, and there's going to be things that they might not have accounted for, or because they really just don't have the manpower that they need in all the right places. So hopefully, you know, where I'm at right now is temporary and I can end up where I really wanted to be. But in the meantime, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to do what needs to be done. However, I've got all this other stuff to deal with.
Oh,
and it makes it a lot harder.
I know. I was just trying to knock them out one at a time before, you know, like, I mean, that one, I mean, honest, like I said, of course, you know, you understand that. And I knew you would. But it's still, like I said, from a business point of view, I think it's a really scummy thing to do. Because I, you know, I'm a business owner and I try to, you know, whether it was the contractors that worked for me in the past or my clients, you know, I usually, like, the minimum I give notice for anything is 24 hours. And most stuff I try to give at least a week for, you know, that's just, you know, it is. That definitely threw a wrench, especially because you had spent so much time driving back from where, you know, from this nice little setup they gave you that kind of like it's almost, again, you know, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt, which is really nice of you. You know, some people would just
give up.
Right,
I do understand a lot more of the specifics that I'm not going to name on the air.
Oh no, I know, but
how companies can be in that position.
Oh sure.
So,
but I could see a lot of other people just like giving up right away. So it's cool of you, I think, to give them that. But it's like it could be viewed almost as like a bait and switch. It's like, hey, come out for this weekend. We'll put you up. We'll feed you, and then it's like, oh, by the way, you know, on your way home.
Well, you know, I really doubt they would have spent all that money.
I know, if they didn't intend on,
you know, following through.
Well, no, they were way
more welcoming and their hospitality was really good. But compared to my old job, now my old job was actually pretty scummy, and I'm not going to name names here either. But
I think
they really,
so it's all right. But
I may have. But the job I've been working for the past few months, they've been really high stress, they expect too much out of the few employees that they have. And they need two or three times the people that they have, and they need to pay them better and they need to treat them better too. So, yeah. So
they are the caricature of the greedy capitalist that so many people think all of us are.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Actually, the particular location that I had been working at, there was about maybe two dozen total employees, and it was a warehouse, and they overstuffed the warehouse because they were incentivized to do so, because I guess the company that they distribute for actually paid them a monthly fee per piece. It was like maybe $5 or $6 per piece to actually store that stuff in the warehouse. So that kind of incentivized them to overstuff the warehouse more than capacity. And I eventually, during the last few weeks there, I learned what kind of sales they actually do out of that location. And it was more than almost 2 million per day.
Wow.
That they made off of these less than two dozen people. And they couldn't even give like 50 cent raises or give us like, you know, the manpower or the equipment that we needed to do the job. Like when it came to just even RF scanners, you know, we had to like, we didn't have nearly enough of those, and we had to go around and borrow them from other people. And it really slowed down the work progress. And trucks were by appointment, and the appointments started being late, and the truck drivers would complain, and we'd have to pay like a detention fee to keep the drivers there late. But when it comes down to it, the owners and the vice president and the people who are making all this money, they didn't mind paying the extra fee because they were making so much that it just didn't matter to them, you know. But we're the ones that had to deal with all that stuff on the ground level, and they didn't really care about, you know, the logistics of all that going on when they're just seeing dollar signs.
Well, I mean, I See, again, that gets into like tough waters because I'm listening to you as you're saying that. And it's like at a certain point, I'm like, well, it's a business thing. And then on the other hand, I'm like, wait a minute, are they actually taking the right economic motives into consideration here? Because sure, they could be making a ton of money off this, which I understand, you know, if you have the space and somebody's going to literally pay you just to keep stuff there. You know, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you try to maximize the amount of space you use for that purpose? Like, I get that. But what you're saying is, like, you know, the way you described it when you said that they don't care about having to pay these detention fees, you know, I'd really be interested in any business who's taking a stance like this. Because, again, I usually tend to side with the business until I hear evidence to the contrary that leads me to believe that they're just they're actually horrible capitalists and they're doing a very bad job at it. Because you would think, especially when you mentioned the fact that what was happening because of their lack of, you know, providing you guys with pretty much anything to do your job, it was actually slowing the workflow. Like, you would think that you would hope somebody crunched the numbers, because that's the only justification I could possibly see, is that they found that that it's actually cheaper for them to pay the detention fees than actually do all this other stuff and make the staff more productive. But that doesn't seem right, does it? Normally, if you make your staff more productive, it's going to bring you even more money. That's usually the way it ends up working out.
Also, why hire more people when they can just pay the ones they have? I don't know why they didn't hire more people when they were paying us so much overtime. Like, I had one check that had 40 hours of overtime on it. It's like, man, you could hire a whole other person and work them 40 hours at straight time instead of paying me that much time and a half, you know?
That also brings them into the range of having to deal with healthcare stuff because of the stupid, you know, the ACA and all that stuff.
Right. But then at the same time, you know, they're working us more than 12-hour days, and we'd come in expecting an 8-to-10-hour day, and we'd be there 12-to-14 sometimes, and it was really ridiculous. And they just thought they could just work us like robots, but really they were like working us to death.
Well, but people like that normally will, though, unfortunately, because until enough people either just quit. You know, there's something I mentioned to you, I think, earlier when we were having a conversation off the air about. Certain people just be, you know, they're willing to push it, because if nobody fights back, they're going to keep doing it. It's like, you know, but when you're in a high turnover position, you know, like some of these jobs end up being, it's, you know, the incentive for them to actually improve isn't there just because there's a high turnover rate. Because if there's more than enough people willing right behind the people who leave because they get fed up with it or find a better position, like you did originally, you know, like you were hoping to do originally here, then why, you know, why are they going to bother to do anything different? Because sure, people leave, they may get burnt out or whatever it is, but if somebody else is going to swoop right in and fill that position and put up with it for a while, we don't have to change our practices, because it's still effective for them. But like I said, overall, the rest of it just isn't seeming to add up. I mean, obviously, I don't know the inner workings of this company or whatever, but just the stuff you're telling me, it doesn't seem to add up. Like, it seems like they're not actually taking the best route here. Not even like put the workers' feelings and, like, you know, put better worker conditions. Put all that to the side. All these other things don't seem to add up to them actually having a very sound economic model in general. They're literally just money.
So I did put in my 2 weeks. And shortly after I put in my 2 weeks, a couple other people did so as well. And, that's actually going to put them in a really bad spot, because, while they could just get new people in, this is actually a kind of a highly specialized industry. It's not just a regular warehouse. It's very specialized parts with very specialized, equipment. And the new warehouse person isn't going to be up to par on all that stuff. And so there's a lot of training involved. And you think they would have worked harder to keep the people who knew what they were doing. And now they're going to have to replace us with new people and train them. And I tell you, there's a really big learning curve when it comes to some of this stuff. It's going to take them 2 to 3 months to get into the swing things. So, yeah, they're really going to be hurting for a while without all these people that are leaving.
Well, see, there you go. That's just another example of what it doesn't seem to me like they have a very well thought out plan if this is what they're doing, because everything you're describing does really seem to be what people you know, with the caricature people create of the greedy capitalist. You know, usually the ones that are actually, they're not really capitalists, they're fascists of some sort. You know, call them a cronyist, call them whatever you want. Those are usually, it's usually those type of people because they know they can get away with it because they either have the government, they can either turn to the government for bailouts or subsidies or whatever to help them out. Or they've put themselves in a position where they because they are specialized, like you're talking about with this, there's not as much competition.
Oh, no, this is actually, I don't think there is any competition
well,
in this industry.
There you go. That's that when people talk about the big, scary monopolies that'll happen without government, they happen even with government. And they, yeah, it's called, a, you know, the, I think that's they actually fall under the natural monopoly, right? One that starts off because it's the only one of its kind. You know, that's
well, what, it may have been the only one of its kind, but a lot of that's because this industry is highly regulated by the government.
Well, yeah, there
and,
you go.
yeah. And so these parts and everything that we're providing are, well, I don't know how much detail I can go into because it is kind of a monopolized industry, but they were elevator parts. And these go in specific buildings. Like every elevator is built to fit the building that it's in. And they all have like a lot of regulations and everything. And so it just so happens that there really is only like one supplier of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we are the main distributor, we're the main distributor for those parts. And so, you know, they do have kind of a monopoly on that industry and they do treat it as such.
Well, yeah, like I said, people complain about it, but yeah, it occurs now and usually because of government, because of barriers to entry that government has put up that these most of the time, the monopolies like that got that way because they were helped by the government regulations. But sometimes somebody's just able to take advantage of the regulatory structure that's already there and put themselves in that position because they can afford to take the hits monetarily early on, where you have to pay for all the extra permits and all the other stuff in order to stay within regulation at all times, where the little guy, or even in a lot of cases like this, even the medium-sized guy can't afford to, like literally can't afford to get off the ground that way. So yeah, it's unfortunate. Like I said, because they already have this set up, they will probably try to get away with it as long as they possibly can. And yeah, you're probably right. They're probably shooting themselves in their foot, which again leads me to believe that they're really not thinking this through. They're just totally riding on the fact that we money and we're the only game in town. So what are you going to do? And they're obviously, I'm guessing, as well as not students of economics, they're probably not students of history, because that usually always ends up badly for the people who try that.
Right.
It'll go great for a while, but once it catches up with them, it catches up hard.
I know, but it seems like being overly concerned with the bottom line will end up hurting your bottom line.
Yeah, it's one of those great paradox. Well, I guess it's not really a paradox, but it seems like one.
Yeah. Yeah, they really didn't seem to be that concerned with customer service and things like that. Which, the new company I work for is actually very, very well known for their customer service. They care about the freight that they handle, and they win awards all the time, and they really do seem to take care of their employees. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here. It's only been my first day, even though it wasn't what I expected. I'm going to try to stick with it and hope it gets better.
Well, yeah, you would hope it would get better. But no, like I said earlier, I applaud you for, you know, being willing to do that, because a lot of people would give up. But, you know, you've got it, as you mentioned, you have plenty of other things going on. So trying to start all over again this quickly with a job on top of everything else, probably not a good idea for you. You're sounding like you need some stability in your life, you know. But
yeah, everything's been pretty chaotic for the last few months. And yeah, I've got no, like, I don't guess, island of stability with which to, you know, branch out from here. It's like everything's in free fall right now.
Yeah, but, you know, I think I mentioned this to you earlier when we were talking, when we were chatting offline about, you know, I mean, not to sound like too cliched or whatever, but this is, of course, a good time, you know, I think this is a very good time for you to, reassess a little bit and maybe downsize some things, because you're talking about the place you have right now and why do you really need it if it's, you know, you have this big place now and if it's just you, well, yeah, you know, that's probably something that you should change, you know, right away for a number of reasons, I would assume. But that one being one of the most important ones, it's like, yeah, why would you work so hard? Even if this job does turn out, you know, hopefully turns out to be better and you end up liking it and all this stuff and it becomes completely worth your while, why invest all that time in doing that and getting paid for that to just, you know, kind of throw it away?
I do really like it here.
Well, yeah. But
and I'm in a good part of town. And it's actually not going to be that much cheaper to find a smaller apartment here. I mean, I might save $100 a month on the apartment, you know, moving into an efficiency or something. But then I also have custody of the cat. And the cat was traumatized when we moved from the apartment next door. I can imagine moving even farther than that.
Oh, the poor cat. That's that's rough.
Yeah.
Well, that does put it. I mean, obviously, I come with the thought that $100. Well, that's $100. So yeah, I'd probably be willing to save that in order to move. But yeah, throwing the animal in the mix, but not even just from the traumatizing angle, but also, I know it's not always the easiest to find places that accept animals because I'm running into that. I mean, I haven't had to worry about it for the longest time because, well, the bank owned my house, but you know, I threw them money every month to pretend that I owned this place for a while. And of course, I didn't have to worry about that then because I had my dog and a bunch of other dogs here.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
But now that I'm trying to look, I'm finally starting to look for another place because, well, hopefully, you know, my own situation here is still very, well, like yours, very, very chaotic over here. I'm still having as much difficulty as can be thrown at me on actually getting out of this state. But I did get word today that supposedly the contract for my house will be in my hand to sign 2 days from now. And if that's the case, then at least that part is finally moving forward and my house will officially be sold soon. Which is
that's
good.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, it's one step. I mean, unfortunately, I'll be homeless for a little while. And I think I've said before on the show, I can't remember if I did or not, but I mean, there's a pretty good chance that Murder Dog and I will be living out of the car for a while I sort some stuff out, because I really don't want to, dump any money on renting a place, you know, renting a place temporarily. I mean, maybe if I know I have to stay here for more than a month, you know, maybe then it's worth to find a place that'll give me a 1 month lease. But again, I just even having to deal with that is giving me thoughts that I'm just like, I don't even want to think about dealing with that because I know how difficult it can be to find a place that'll take animals. You know, it's not as easy as some people would like it to be, unfortunately, because there's plenty of places for whatever reason they don't want to have, you know, they don't want to deal with the potential mess. I understand that. If I ended up keeping this house and instead of selling it and trying to rent it out and still leave, then as much as I love animals, there's a pretty good chance that I would question whether or not I would actually let the renter, you know, people I was renting out to have animals, just because, you know, I don't want to have to deal with that extra mess and all that, all the potential things that could go wrong that would cost more money than it'd be worth. You know what I mean? So that does make it more difficult to move when you. I didn't realize that you had the cat as well. That does make it a little tougher. But
yep.
You know, I mean. Otherwise, I like I said, I don't see the I see downsizing as something, you know, I'm trying to do it as much as possible, which is funny because I already live in a 920 square foot house with two kids that are growing and the dog.
Wait, you said 920?
Yeah, the main floor of my house is 920 square feet.
Wow, that's pretty close to the size of this apartment.
See, exactly. That's how small my house is. I live in a very tiny house. I live in, I've talked about it before. I live in what's considered America's original suburb. Was Levittown, New York, built just after World War II. And the guy who owned all the property here built up the entire town in the course of, like, I think under 3 years. And it's actually, square foot-wise, it's one of the biggest towns in Nassau County, I believe. But he basically just, mass manufactured the entire town in three different styles of houses and got everything done on the cheap with, I believe, Mexican labor, if I remember correctly, because this was before Eisenhower, and he came in and what was his thing? Operation Wetback, I believe, was the title of the program that Eisenhower ran. That he was the first one to try to deport people from Mexico back to Mexico. And so, yeah, this was before that. So I'm pretty sure that was the labor that was used here. And it was done quickly and on the cheap. And it was, and these houses were all stacked up next to each other. I mean, you know, I walk out my front door and I look to the right and I can, like, you know, I can almost touch my neighbor's yard on either side of me, basically. You know, I do have a decent sized backyard here. I have one of the bigger ones in the neighborhood. But, you know, for the front yard, it's super tiny and the house fits it because it's super tiny. And 920 square feet, that's with the addition that was added by the last owners sometime back in the early 70s, I believe, with the little dining room that gets kicked off the side of the house. Now, before that, it was, you know, 800 square feet, maybe 850 square feet, the main floor of the house. So, yeah, it's tiny. But I know, like I said, just looking, trying to find places to rent out in good old Indiana, I run across more than half the places that are like, no pets, no pets, no pets, no pets. It's like, okay, moving on. Because obviously, although I know plenty of people who end up moving, and well, one of the main reasons most animal shelters are filled is because so many people move and go, oh, I can't find a place that'll take my animal. All right, I'm just going to drop them off in the shelter. You know, oh, I'm so sad. I had to do it. It's like, no, you most likely didn't try hard enough. You have to know full well going into this that you're not that it's not going to be easy to find a place that will rent to you. Where you can keep your animals. So,
yeah,
I'm dealing with that myself because I've, like I said, now that the house is almost officially under contract, I've started to seriously look at, you know, places and try to figure out where exactly I'm going to end up. And for the longest time, I kept saying, you know, most likely going to be on the northern side of Indiana because that's where the friends I have that are there are currently. And it'll just make life a lot easier to be to be closer to people right there. And I kept saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, the cold. Well, obviously, the cold isn't going to bother me because I'm somebody who grew up skiing in my shorts on Camelback Mountain. So I love the cold. Jen, unfortunately, not so much. My kids like the snow. They don't like the cold so much. So,
well,
you know, I kept saying,
I grew up in northern Indiana.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that I had enough of the cold living there for a lifetime.
Yeah, I know. And I kept saying it wasn't going to be a big deal. And then I just got reminded of how bad it can get heat just here over the past day or so, where we went from, I mean, the weather's been insane here for the past couple of months, where it gets up to like almost 60 degrees. I think a couple of times it hit 70 for like a day or two, and then it plummets again. And we just got bashed with a huge storm earlier today that was expected. It was supposed to, you know, there was one, this might have been a second nor'easter, I don't even know. There was a couple of them that came through. The first one apparently missed us. It dumped a bunch of snow in Pennsylvania, and then this one was supposed to originally come through, dump a bunch of snow on us. At the last minute they said it was changing and we weren't going to get as much snow because there was a lot of that, you know, that sleet and freezing rain junk. But just having to shovel the inch of it, or maybe the 2 inches of it, that had accumulated on my back patio so I could get a path to the garage, which is where I go to smoke cigarettes when it's, you know, either snowing or when it's raining out and I don't want to actually stand outside. And just having to do that, I don't know, 10 yards, maybe not even 7 yards, maybe, I don't even know, that I actually had to shovel of that wet, thick, disgusting. I'm just like, oh man, do I really want to deal with this even more than I do now?
Yeah. I just spent the last weekend in like 70 degree weather, and it was sunny and it was really nice down in Tennessee. And we even had some good weather in the 60s here in Cincinnati recently. But just today it was like 30 degrees and snowing. So yeah, it's kind of weird here in the Midwest how it'll be really warm and then really cold.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. It seems to be happening in a lot of places this year. And I know if you want to put on, you know, if you want to put on our tinfoil hats, we can, you know, thank HARP or something. Because I'm sure, even if you ignore that and all the testing that's been done over the years by different governments all over the world and all the crazy stuff that actually can affect the actual natural weather cycles of the Earth, crazy things happen. Who knows what's going on? But yeah, it does seem to be happening a lot more because we've been dealing with it up here, like I said, pretty much past couple of years now, where it's done this, where it's gotten these crazy spikes up until
But even before that technology, we've had a saying here in the Midwest that if you don't like the weather, just wait because it'll change.
Yeah, but again, they say that everywhere. That's how I got introduced. That's how I got introduced to Florida the first time I went down there, because I experienced like three seasons in the matter of an hour. It was insane, and I was like, "How is this? How did this happen?" Or a rainstorm that would just pop up out of nowhere and just dump on me, and I'd be like, "Oh, our day's ruined." And the people that were from there, but like, just give it a minute. And sure enough, like within 10 minutes or less, the skies were beautiful again and everything was sunny and it was warm enough that things were drying out already. It's like, oh, now I see what you mean. So,
well, Florida's unique in that it only has, I think, three of the four seasons.
Well, yeah, that's why I said I experienced three of them within a short amount of time, not all four.
Yeah, you'll get all three in a day, but you don't get winter very often in Florida.
Yeah, which is why I never minded visiting Florida, but I mean, I am a huge kid, so I did love Disney World for a very long time until I realized how horrible of a person Walt Disney really was, and I pretty much despise the man now just because he's the reason that copyright law continues to be pushed upon us. It's all his fault. I really blame Disney. him and the ever expanding amount of time every time it came up for renewal, just because he was, him and then later his heirs, I guess, or whoever controls Disney at this point, was trying to keep claim on Mickey Mouse. Horrible, horrible man. Anyway,
a dang intellectual property enforcing the monopoly on ideas.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, government. Thanks, Disney. I didn't mind traveling there, but I never wanted to live in Florida because I grew up in, I grew up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, which is not like, it definitely gets colder in other places, but I grew up where it was, decently cold a good portion of the year, and I liked it like that. And being here on Long Island was an adjustment because it can get, there was plenty of snowstorms that came through here and stuff like that, but it wasn't as consistent as it was, like the temperatures, where it stayed cold for longer. So now I've kind of got used to that, but I could never, I don't think I could ever survive someplace. Like, as much fun as it sounds, like living on on a tropical island or something, like, I don't think I could ever do it because I need at least to have cold sometime. I mean, maybe after a long enough time I could learn to adjust, but
well,
I'm 41 at this point. And I don't think I'm changing that much at the, I need to have
my cold. If you do end up in northern Indiana, you're going to get plenty of cold. And if I don't make it here in Cincinnati, there's a chance I'll end up back home in northern Indiana. So we could be neighbors at some point.
Well, that would be spectacular, man. Not for you on one hand, but on the other hand, it'd be great, man. Come on, we can.
We could start growing
that voluntary community that a bunch of us have always talked about. Anyway, we could actually start one up there because we'll already have a bunch of us there. It'll be the new Michigan. Everybody's been moving up to Michigan and stuff. Hey, you don't even have to go that far north. Stop here. We got some.
Happens, my hometown is Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is in northeastern Indiana. And it's actually only a couple hours from Detroit. So that's where there's a lot of AnFam up there in the Detroit area. And that's where near where the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest is. So we would be a lot closer to the whole Michigan AnFam.
Well, yeah. We could be closer to them, but kind of like, you know, not that I have any, I love most of them, but not like, you know, kind of like the relatives that you want to have just close enough that they're there if you need them, but not close enough that they can just show up for dinner every night. You know, that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Because like I said, we can, you know, that's how you branch out. And that's how you, you know, these communities, well, it's great that they have a big one, a bigger one that, you know, at least as far as concerned with, like, other than New Hampshire, I don't know any other communities across the country that have actually grown. But maybe there's Texas to a certain extent. There's a couple of different groups down there that have started to do stuff. But I don't know. I think the Michigan anarchists are one of the bigger groups that I know of in the States. So, you know, it's great that they exist. You got to get more of them. So what do? You start branching off just a couple hours away, and then you have like a chain that goes, that spreads out in different directions where everybody's a couple hours away from each other, and then the communities start to spread. I think that's great. But
worms,
you know, you mentioned the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and I know Lou normally talks about that with when he does his shows, but I'm excited because despite my life being in, you know, constant turmoil lately and the chaos that I mentioned earlier, that I still don't know what's going on. I mean, I have my next court date coming up. I finally heard from my lawyer today. I've been trying to reach him for almost a week. And apparently I learned today that even though we went to court the last time and in front of a judge, we picked a date that worked for all sides for the trial thing to start, where now we have to do like the pretrial hearings and go through all this process and stuff. But this was supposed to be the start of it. I learned today that even though we did all that and the judge agreed to it and wrote it on her calendar, that doesn't mean we're actually going to have pretrial hearings on Monday. There's a chance that the judge could just not be available and say, oh, I can't do it today. And then even if both the DA's office, who hasn't actually let my lawyer know yet if they're ready or not, because of course they're going to wait to the last possible minute like they have through this entire process, even if they say that they're ready, and even, you know, and even if my side is there and says we're ready, if the judge is like, no, can't do it right now, we could go to try to find another judge to see if another court is available to take it, and another judge might but might not. So like, I literally learned this today a couple days before I was supposed to be in court.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh, just another reminder of how horribly ridiculous this system is. But despite all that, despite the fact that that's still up in the air, and like I said, the house thing, hopefully with a couple of days, I'll have signed my name on the contract and we'll be working towards that end, which will hopefully take less than 2 months before I'm out of this house. And even if that means that Murder Dog and I are living out of the car for a little while and or my tent, that's fine. At least we'll have some money and we'll have one less headache to deal with. And it'll also mean that everything else is packed up and at least ready to ship out to Indiana. So that'll be a good start. But despite all that, despite everything else that's in upheaval, and I don't, you know, I'm not really sure how things are going to work out and stuff, I did actually purchase my tickets today for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. Because
I need to do that soon also.
They finally put up the option for crypto. Unfortunately, I was a little disappointed because not only, I don't think I talked to you since then about this, because I had asked you kind of half joking a while back because of, you know, you're in with certain people within the people who run the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest about their, what they were going to do about crypto this year, because they, in the past, they had always accepted Bitcoin and they'd always give it a discount for that if you paid in Bitcoin for your tickets. And this year, apparently, there was some discussion about possibly allowing, you know, accepting some other cryptocurrencies because of the whole deal with Bitcoin and the high transaction fees and the long, you know, the long time and the long transaction times and all that stuff, the confirmation times.
Which are now non-existent. Yes. I mean, the mempool is empty. It's pretty much back to normal.
Yeah. That's a completely different story. But I jokingly asked you about that. You know, shortly after that, I actually talked to Lou, who was like, "Oh, I'm involved in this, and yeah, they're definitely trying to get other, you know, they're trying to figure out other cryptocurrencies." I'm like, "Oh, this is great." And then I went and checked, and they still hadn't had it up yet. And I just decided to look today, and they put it up, and it's still just Bitcoin.
Still just Bitcoin.
But at least that option was there, which, because like I said, that's how I've paid for the past two, and that's why I definitely wanted to pay again this year. So I did secure this year for the first time four tickets. for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, as the entire family's coming.
Yay.
So it's going to, well, again, you know, as I said half jokingly, and I say it just to keep my sanity, you know, as long as I'm not in jail, I do plan on being there. And I do plan on bringing the entire family, because I've already told Jen that, you know, once we get out of here and get to Indiana, and depending on how quickly we get set up, because the original plan was to try to get her work once we get there, because it would be not necessarily easier for her to land work, but it would be easier for her to land high paying work than it would for me, because she, you know, she has a specialized degree and everything, and she's, you know, made really good money at it in the past. And if she can get set up in the field that she works in, then, you know, things will be gravy. For me, because I don't have, unfortunately, as many marketable skills as she does, because I ran my own business that I kind of just learned by the seat of my pants. Had a run over the course of a dozen years. You know, I didn't prep myself very well. So I'm going to have to find some other ways to make money. So the whole point was for her to do that. So yeah, we've got to figure all that stuff out. But I told her that even if she does manage to land like a killer job as soon as we get there, like if we don't have to wait, because again, once I sell the house and I pay off all of the bills that I have, and, you know, take care of all, like, you know, pay off the rest of the house, and then take care of my car and take care of what other things I've racked up over the past couple of months, then we'll actually have some money to be okay for a little while. So it's not like one of us has to get to work like right away desperately. But I said, even if she does, then she has to tell them that unfortunately June 21st through the 25th, she's just not going to be available. Like, there's just nothing that can be done about that. Like, yeah, that's going to be any job prospect has to know that off the bat, that, you know, because I'm going to be there. You know, I plan on being there. I wouldn't miss it. So
yeehaw. I plan on being there too. And hopefully the employer will work with me on that. But I'm going to buy my tickets soon.
Yeah, I do. Like I said, I just wanted to get it out of the way, and that's why I was waiting for them to add the crypto option.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Benat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike Papa Lima Fest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Are you on any exchanges?
No, I am not. I don't
because you could exchange, like, if you didn't want to dip into the Bitcoin you've been hodling.
No, I know. Well, luckily I had just enough in one of my wallets that I keep, you know, for spending purposes, that I had just enough in Bitcoin that I could use to buy the tickets with the generous 15% discount that they give for using Bitcoin. So yeah. I was able to cover it out of that. I didn't have to dip into my hodl pile. So that was
good. That's
good. Yeah.
I actually get 2 free days coming, so I only have to pay for 2 and I'll get 4.
Oh,
because
nice.
I volunteered last year.
Oh, that's how you get the free days. Yeah, see, I probably could have tried to do that this year so I would get them for next year, I guess, but yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Still could.
You know what? I don't even care. For me, it's worth it. The money's worth it anyway, to be able to spend that time, because I mean, even without the discount, I think it was $180 for what? 4 nights for 4 people to camp there. That's not that bad. Well, yeah, is it 4 nights or 5 nights? I can't count.
I believe it's
5
nights.
No, it's because it starts on Thursday, right? It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, yeah, 4 nights. 5 days, 4 nights. I can count. Yeah, so the, you know, for that to be able to hang out there with a whole bunch of my friends and make new ones every year, and also, especially after last year, how, you know, my kids had, I mean, I've said this before, and some people think that I'm just like kind of making it up to kind of just like, you know, talk up the event or whatnot. It's like, no, my kids legitimately to this day still talk about Michigan. Like, they just go into these all out, like, the, like, they started doing it as soon as they came back, and that was before Jen and them had moved back into the house completely. So she would tell me that they would just bring it up randomly and just go on and on and on about all the things they did and about how much fun they had, and, you know, just tell the stories over and over and over again, and they haven't stopped. they still go on and on about Michigan, so I know they're looking forward to it, and I'm definitely looking forward to have them back there again this year, because, you know, as I've said, it was a much different event for me last year, but it was still an awesome one for me, so yeah, I guess...
Fiend phone.
I guess, you know...
All right.
Oh, you're back. I was just babbling on anyway, but that's not... whatchamacallit. Yeah, no, I was just saying that, you know, even though it was a different event for me, I had so much fun just watching my kids have so much fun that I'm looking forward to that again. And I guess I'm finally okay with, you know, being at that point in my life that I can't party like I used to anymore. You know, the two years ago at the Midwest Peace Liberty Fest, I guess which that was, I mean, I only decided to go to that one, I think, less than a month before it happened. Because I had gone to Pork Fest that year, and I said there would be no way that I'd be able to pull off both, because that's when I was still running my company at full tilt, and I was usually extremely busy during the summer. And it was only because my one sister, before she stopped speaking to me, had offered to stay at my house for the weekend and take care of dogs that I was supposed to have here, that I was able to go. You know, so it was definitely a last minute thing. That's the only reason I got to go up there and have as much fun as I did that year, as I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's I can't wait, because, well, I mean, as we've been talking this whole time, I mean, you've definitely had more than a rough couple of months. I've obviously had quite a rough. Well, I'm closing in on a year now at this point.
Well, I'd say I've had a rough 6 months, but you know, the last few have been the worst of it.
Well, yeah, I'm up to like 9 months at this point, almost 10, I guess.
Yeah.
But the worst of it happened in different waves. Like, you know, the first month or two of it were really bad. Then it got a little better for a while, and then it got kind of bad again.
And it all started with a Facebook post.
For me, oh yeah, that's well,
yeah.
That's, well, you know, that's my life, man. That I always, that's one of those things, one of those weird things. Like, I don't really chalk up a lot of things to like premonitions and stuff like that. You know, I've jokingly called you the woo-woo man before. And, you know, I have plenty of friends who do deal in stuff like this. And I'm just like, I don't really, you know, but every once in a while I call things like this ahead of time, and I really wish I couldn't do it. Because it just makes me so mad when I remind myself out of it. Like, this is something I never warned myself, but it's something that I said years ago, kind of offhandedly, to a number of people close to me who had like expressed real concern about some of the stuff that I was saying publicly, and like what I was how far I was willing to push the envelope. And my almost flippant response in almost every one of those scenarios was, oh, I'm sure eventually, you know, somebody's going to get really upset with something I say, and it's going to be a nightmare. I'm like, but, you know, I've already started, so why stop? You know, kind of along the same lines of when people would talk about, oh, if you're going to do that, you're going to end up on a government list. And it's like, you know, again, I would say half flippantly, well, you know, number one, if you're not on one already, you're doing something wrong. And number two, I most likely am. And then later on found out, well, we all pretty much are, you know, the more and more information they got leaked out through different sources from government, you find out most people are actually on some kind of list of some kind or another. But I always had that attitude of kind of just like, yeah, I put myself out there for so long, and I fully understand that people can go back in time on the internet and find stuff from years ago and bring it forward again. Like, yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to hide from who I am. I'm not going to have a sock account on Facebook or anything like that. I'm not going to hide behind. I mean, like on Twitter, I don't use my real name, but a lot of people don't use their real name on Twitter. But it became very obvious after not a very long amount of time for most people to figure out who I was on Twitter, because I wasn't really trying to hide it, you know? So like, I always went by my real name. My information was always out there because, well, even though I did get doxxed, which was really messed up, unfortunately, that information had been out there for a long time, and I knew it was because it was connected to my business. So I was aware of it, and I continued to take certain risks anyway because my attitude was just, well, it's already out there anyway. Why stop now, type of thing? Yeah. And also part of it was probably a bravado thing of, you know, I'm not going to let people, you know, talk, you know, boss me around in that way or type of thing, or shut me up type of deal. So, you know, I knew it was bound to happen. I said it enough times, but I really never thought about it for really long. Like, you know, although as I've, you know, after going through everything, And you know, before Michael listens to this and freaks out that I've buried the lead, we just talked about this on a recent one that him and I did together. I'm not going into the whole story again. If you don't know, I think that was episode 1266. I think Michael titled it Jeremy and NWD. So it's pretty easy to find. You can go back and listen to the whole story on that one. But, you know, this far removed from it now and after dealing with everything, I still probably wouldn't have done much different. Like in that particular instance, the only thing I might have done is been a little more careful about not using that giant, the making it into like the meme with the Facebook background that I didn't really know I was doing at the time because it had just become available to me because the way Facebook ruled that whole thing out was incremental and only some people had it at some times. And when it finally got rolled out on my browsers, when I was finally able to access it, it was literally like the day or two before that. So I still hadn't gotten a grip on when it, like if I was typing on the mobile on my phone, sometimes the mobile browser would just automatically slip into it. And if you didn't pay attention, it would, you know, that's how it would get sent out. And that's what it did. Mm-hmm. So I probably wouldn't have done it, sent it out that way. And maybe I would have elaborated a little bit more. But overall, I probably would have sent out a post of pretty much the same nature because I still don't regret what I said because the things that people got the most mad about, I never said or even implied. But people's reading comprehension is horrible. And even if you want to excuse them reading just that without any other context, I gave plenty of context when I tried to explain to the first number of people who came looking for my head in the comments and wanted and insisted that they wanted an explanation from me. And when I gave a fully drawn out explanation that showed what they were claiming was just simply not true, they just completely ignored it and continued to rant and rave. You know, I had the same thing in actual conversation form when people were calling my house nonstop. I would pick up the phone every once in a while and certain people would, or I actually called a couple of people back who left messages and insist that they just wanted to have a conversation because they were really just trying to wrap their head around what I had, you know, what I was saying. And I was like, fine, we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. Well, after you had got doxxed and then harassed, you know, and then the news crew showed up, it was probably a difficult situation to try to have a normal conversation, especially since they wouldn't get off your property. And I'd like to think that if I was in that situation, I would have probably taken a moment to try to get my message out there, you know, and explain to them. But you know how news crews are. They heavily edited, you know, the stuff that did happen. And even if you had tried to do that, I'm sure they would have edited all the good stuff out.
Well, yeah, that was actually that was one of the things that got levied against me right away. You know, a bunch of libertarians and anarchists turned against me and claim one of them, a former host of this show, who I was never very fond of to begin with, the one who called herself V, actually went on the attack and attacked me for hurting the movement essentially by my actions. And then, of course, when I confronted her on it, she refused to actually engage me at all and wouldn't actually back up her claims and wouldn't even say anything. She wouldn't respond to anything I had to say. So, you know, just a hit and run piece.
But under the circumstances, you know, being doxxed and harassed
that's what I tried to explain to people because it was even some of my friends, like a mutual friend of ours. I'm not gonna mention him. I'm not gonna call him out on the air about this. But a mutual friend of both of ours, actually said some things quietly about this that I caught wind of. But he at least was willing to talk to me about it once I kind of called him on it. It was like, yo, what's the deal here, man? Because you know, number one, sure, I understand. Is there, you know, in retrospect, are there ways that I could have handled that situation differently? Of course. But, you know, as I said at the time, and again, I don't really, my attitude hasn't changed much about this. I said, it, you know, a lot of these people out there are loving a Monday morning quarterback, but, you know, it's a lot different when you're actually standing, when you're actually in the game, when you've been thrown into the game with no warning, you know, and you're already under an incredible amount of stress for other reasons. You know, you're not always thinking with, you know, you're not always thinking long term in that moment. You're just thinking, how do I get out of this situation right now the quickest possible way? And, you know, without running away into my house, because even that, which is another thing people said, oh, you could have just, you know, locked yourself in your house. It's like, okay, my whole reason for telling them to leave and insisting that demanding that they leave and them refusing and continuing to advance on me, and my defense of that this entire time has been I was attempting to eject actual trespassers from my property who were aware that they were trespassing and were refusing to acknowledge, well, they just refused to acknowledge my repeated demands for them to leave. But they were aware of my demand to leave. They made that known as well by their responses. So they were willingly trespassing. So for me to run away and go hide in my house, and yeah. You know, as plenty of people said, well, you could have just called the cops. It's like, well, okay, number one, no, I don't call the cops normally. I'm not going to do it in that situation. Number two, a number of the threats that had come down to the line to either me directly or friends of mine who were threatened directly came from cops.
From the cops, yeah.
Who were also mad about this.
And firefighters.
Whole thing. Yes, well, the firefighters are, you know, that's that. I understood that more than some of the cops. The cops coming after me, you know, I wasn't, you know, everybody else thought I was attacking firemen, which I wasn't. I was attacking government workers. The fact that the cops, who are not the brightest people in the world to begin with, were able to figure out that that meant them, it's pretty impressive, actually. Maybe I should give them some credit. But, you know, they were. So, yeah, calling them wasn't an option. And again, running away and hiding defeats my entire argument of why I was trying to eject them in the first place. Because it's my property. And, you know, regardless of what government purports itself to be or whatever it actually is and people believe it is and yada, yada, yada. If you want to believe in government, if you want to accept the notion that government is necessary and, you know, all hell will break loose if there isn't government, then, you know, you kind of have to accept then, especially here in good old America, that the fundamental purpose of government is supposed to be the protection of private property. If you believe the whole myth, that's what they sell you as. That's how they sell it to you as. That's what the government's fundamental purpose is here, is the protection of private property. So the fact that there even has to be a discussion of whether or not there's castle doctrine where you live, or, you know, what the laws regarding self-defense on your own property are, like the fact that it's even a discussion means that government has failed at its fundamental purpose, which is why I don't understand how anybody could look at it with a straight face and say, well, it's necessary and it's, you know, it's, you got to take the good with the bad. The good with the bad, if it fails at its fundamental purpose, then how could it get any better at all?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, that's, I don't even remember how we got to this point, how we got to here, but that's, yeah. That's what government will do to you.
Talk about horrible, rotten, no good, very bad days.
Oh yeah, yeah. The whole year we were having. That's right. You know, your 6 month period, my almost year period. Yeah, it's been great. But whatever, man. Like I said, for me at least, you know, part of it's coming to a close for me soon. Hopefully with the selling of my house. But with I up until a couple of hours ago before I spoke to my lawyer, I really did think the other thing was definitely going to be coming to a close one way or the other soon. I really had, like, I should have known at this point. I really should have. But this one, like what I described earlier about how they literally just told us, I found out that, oh yeah, they can just decide, yeah, we're not available now, even though we made you come here and told you to be here, you know, which also means I don't know if I have to show up and I'm going to be there for an hour or so, or I have to sit there all day. Like, I have no, like, talking about what, going full circle back to how your day, you know, your day started last night, not knowing how to prepare for your day because you're literally told at the last second. They're going to, the way the government, you know, at least the private entity, which may have dropped the ball here a little bit here, you know, here, whatever, that you're willing to give the benefit of doubt. At least that private entity, as, you know, they shortchanged you on time, but they still gave you at least 12 hours. I usually get about an hour with the state. Like, wow. That's how much, like, it or less. Like, I mean, because I've talked about that before. That's actually happened in multiple court appearances where we were not, my side was not given the information it requested or the decision that it requested or the offer that it had requested and told was coming until literally an hour or less before court was in session, you know? So there's literally no time for my side to prepare anything, you know, yeah. when things change on the fly. And me, granted, again, I guess I should be credit where credit is due. This time I found out a couple days ahead of time. But it's still horrible because, you know, the last time I saw my lawyer was the last court date. And the last thing he said to me is, we're going to have a sit down and go over some stuff because we're entering the pretrial hearings and whatnot. But we'll sit down and we'll do that. And then we'll take it from there. And then I never heard from him. And then I had problems getting in touch with him. And then he drops all this on me today. And I'm like, and his hands are still tied because he still won't know until they let him know. Like, there's not much that could be done.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Right. And as Jen pointed out to me earlier, this is, of course, most likely just another tactic by the state to try to drag this out as long as possible in hopes that I will finally give up and accept the extremely crappy deal that they have now offered me, I think, 3 times, but only 2 of them were official. But it's been the same exact deal every time. And I think she's right. I think that's what there's no other way to look at this at this point. You know, I know there's people early on that said I was either being hyperbolic or I had this, you know, victim mentality. Oh, the system's just out to get me. It's like, no. That's why I'm so glad that Bodie, another mutual friend of ours, our friend Andrew Marich, encouraged me to start recording a video after every one of my court appearances. I wish he had given me the idea earlier on so I had all of them, but I'm glad that he did it at least at some point. So I think I have at least 3 of them. I have 3 of them recorded that are out there now. And, so I can document this stuff as it's happening and say, no, this is literally how it's going down. I'm being told that the last possible second, things are changed at the last possible second, promises are broken at the last possible second, over and over and over again, so that, you know, hopefully any rational person who comes across this at some point and finds out about this story and at least is willing to look at my side of the argument here can go through all these things and go, oh, wow, this guy wasn't kidding. Like, conclusion are you going to come to other than they have to know they have nothing? You know, my first lawyer told me months ago that the DA at the time had kind of let it slip to him that they knew this was going to be a difficult case because it could be brought up. You know, my lawyer hadn't said anything at the time, but they acknowledged that, you know, it could be fought kind of pretty easily on constitutional grounds alone, which of course seems kind of ironic coming from me, but hey, if I'm forced to play their game, what other choice do I have? You know, right. if I can use a constitutional defense to get myself out of it, then of course I will, you know, but like they kind of let that slip early on. And just the fact that every time there's been a request for evidence, which now has happened, you know, through 2 separate lawyers, and they drag their feet on that both times with both lawyers, they made them wait for the evidence. And both times when it finally arrived, and not even just that, when my second lawyer requested a sit down with the head of the DA's, the supervisor, in order to watch the evidence they had so they could try to make, you know, have a real conversation about making some kind of deal, all that's ever been presented is literally the news clip. Not even what I assume was the edited version that they showed the cops that day. Because the reason I was eventually actually, like, I was put in cuffs and left by the side of a cop car for about 20 minutes or longer. But the reason I was finally told that I was officially under arrest was because they had viewed a tape that the reporter had provided, which I had assumed this entire time had been edited because they had more than enough time to do so. Because as I've discussed in plenty of other shows and stuff like that,
the response time based on the call that went out, because I heard what the call actually was. The response time does not line up with my county and how they actually respond to stuff like that, and the sheer number of cops that showed up. So they responded much later than somebody calling right after the incident. You know, so they had more than enough time to edit something before they showed the cops. So I've always worked under that impression. But they, like, literally all that's been presented as evidence in the case is one step further than that. It's the actual edited news clip that was put on the air. And it's like, this is your evidence, you know, like, other than them trying to figure out some way to be able to wait till the last possible second to drop the other copy of the tape, which, you know, is supposed to be even against their own rules. Like, what sense does that make? You know, but, you know, even as my lawyer described it to me today, even, you know, he knows how I feel about things and he knows my position on things and basically my philosophy. But he said it and didn't mean it to, like, agree with me or anything. He's like, but this is, like, you know, the inefficiency of the bureaucracy here. This is just kind of how it works, man. You know, like, even people who work in it understand it, but they still put up with it, which is, you know, a whole nother story. But yeah, it's just they're willing to go to these lengths because, well, that's how that's how the just us system works here. They will, their goal is to find any way to get you in the system somehow, some way. So they have a record of you. So they have your fingerprints, whatever, you know, even if it's for something silly, they just want to have that there. And they also want to have the opportunity to generate revenue from you. So they want to find some way. I mean, this, of course, aside, anybody who's listening who doesn't necessarily agree with us, this is, of course, aside from anybody who's committed an actual crime that, you know, some police officer somewhere may actually be trying to solve. Doesn't really happen all the time. I mean, just, hey, look at the national statistics across the country, and you see what actually gets, what crimes get solved at a lot higher rate, you know, quote unquote solved. It's usually the easiest ones that they don't have to put a lot of effort into, and the ones that generate the most amount of money, which is why it's usually a lot of drug cases and stuff like that. You know, the victimless crime laws and all that.
Right.
But the actual crimes, you know, the conviction rates and all that stuff for, you know, murder, rape, you know, assault, actual fraud, you know, well, I mean,
are
fraud
very low.
Yeah. Or outside the government, obviously, because everything they do is a fraud. But, you know, like private sector fraud, like all these things. Yeah. The rates are horrible for the most part across the country because they don't focus on things like that. But that's what they want to do. They want to get you in there and hope, because a lot of people would have probably buckled by now and said, oh, I can't take this anymore. This is so insane. Fine. Just give me the deal. You know, because they'll give you something that's supposed to be just good enough that they'll hope you'll just take it and go, all right, fine, it's over with. I don't actually have anything on my record. Great, let's just move on. You know, and that's what they're hoping for. So the more this happens, it only seems to solidify that for me that this really is the case, and I have a harder and harder time with anybody who looks at this situation and doesn't come to the same conclusion. I'm like, really? We're like, what am I missing here? What else could possibly be going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I can't wait until the day when you can finally escape New Yorkistan and stop being the, what do they call it? The embattled Levittown man.
Oh, yeah. That's that was definitely a headline in a couple of papers or internet articles I saw. Those were the nicer ones, you know. They got less radio friendly as they shifted more and more to, like, the more hardcore right wing, quote unquote news sites who basically just copy pasted parts of the original story and put their own twists on it, which to a certain extent was kind of amusing because it became, like, you know, one of those really horrible games of telephone where each time it got copy pasted to the next lower tier of, you know, political websites or whatever it was, like the ones with the less, you know, less and less readership. Every time it got passed down, they would attempt to make it so it wasn't, like, they were trying to present it like their own articles. So they would basically take the copy pasta and interject their own stuff in there to make it seem like it was an original piece. But they would leave in some of the most ridiculous things, like the one almost immediately, which I really found funny, and I didn't bother to say this at the time because I didn't want it to be corrected because I thought it was great, was one of the first sites who started doing it put me in Levittown, Pennsylvania instead of Levittown, New York. And yeah. that's the one that kept getting circulated a bunch. So much so that people in Levittown down there, like in Pennsylvania, were talking. I saw them talking on the internet, like actually trying to like going out and have hunt, like having parties, like look, trying to look for me, like a search party. They were going to look for me to like hurt me. And it's like people, you know, just reactionaries everywhere. Uh-huh. <They're> just, people just run with these, you know, whatever the fans are of these particular sites, people who read these things, they're just as dumb as the people writing them because they don't bother to fact check. They just go, oh, it was said yeah. here. We trust them. So let's go with it. And
yep. And every new iteration of copy pasting, you know, that loses something in the translation, but then they gain something that's not true. So it becomes even more and more untrue as it goes on.
Well, yeah. And that's why, like, you know, I mean, like I said, it was mostly funny, but to a certain extent it wasn't, because then that was also the thing that got passed on, because it was a few days later when it made when it started to make national news. And by that point, the story had already been distorted even more than it was distorted to begin with. So the threats that started coming in, and, you know, not that I expected anybody from Chicago to show up on my doorstep, but like those ones were some, you know, because what I know of Chicago, those ones were a little more worrisome.
Yeah.
You know, than some of the other ones I received from Long Island. But
you did have people showing up.
Well, yeah, I did. Yeah, that's why, you know, again, going back to what we were saying before about, you know, how I could have handled it differently and why I didn't. Well, yeah, because there actually were people regularly showing up at my house, and most of them running away when I tried to confront them, you know, because I always had my, at that point, I definitely had my phone out recording and, you know, asking why they were there. And, you know, and then as they drove away or ran away, trying to like chase after them, like, hey, where are you going? That type of thing. You know, and the only ones who didn't do that were ones who tried to wait, who purposely sat in hiding and waited till Jen left at the time. So they knew that I was there by myself and, you know, tried to catch me like that. But, you know, or when it became known quite quickly that I had kids. So, like, they tried to do it when they knew I was taking care of my kids and stuff. And, like, I clearly couldn't have a conversation with them right then, you know, just so they could say, oh, look, I showed up at his house and he was too cowardly. It's like, yeah, now you can understand why these news stories circulate so quickly, because the people who circulate them are just as dumb as the people who report them. You yeah. know, but
fake news.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like I said, hopefully I'll be out of here sooner rather than later. And then can start a whole new chapter again. And, you know, hopefully for you, things will work out too. And then,
yeah,
like I said, selfishly, part of me doesn't want it to work out for you, because it'd be great if you ended up where I'm going. But
yeah, I was going to say, I really like it down here in Cincinnati. But, you know, if I can't make it down here on my own, I might move back to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I have some roots and start all over again. Which is really about, I think, you know, 45 minutes from our other friend that we know in northern Indiana. And it's only a couple hours from Detroit. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, life, at this point in life, man, I've realized that it really is an adventure. And while there are definitely things that are within our sphere of control, you know, like I was saying, pointing out earlier, you know, and I'll definitely take responsibility for things that have happened to me. You know, there's definitely things that have been within my sphere of control that I sure could I have done differently, but no, I didn't. So now I just work with what I have.
Yeah, same here.
And that's why I'm just going to keep pressing forward. And yeah, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with you. Unfortunately, I've been there too, man. I mentioned that to you earlier, and I know how it is. Especially, you know, if you do take certain things for granted, they're like, oh man. This is why people always say you're not supposed to, right? Because then when it's gone, yeah. It's like, ah, that's what they meant.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. It's, like I also mentioned, I know you. I know you're self-aware enough to recognize these things. So, you know, it's times like this. People like us, I guess, we're just supposed to buckle down, right? And,
yeah.
Learn what we can.
You know, I almost feel like this experience has kind of, you know, forced me to grow as a person. And in a way, I'm not really the same person I was then when I made those mistakes. But I'm still paying for them.
Well, yeah, actions do have consequences. Yeah. But again, the fact that you can recognize that already, it's like, all right, well, good. Then hopefully that's a change for the better, and next time around this won't happen. You know,
well, it will be a change for the better eventually.
I can't say the same for me because, I can't actually say that I won't do something like that again. I mean, I have been quieter on social media, but yeah.
The next time a news crew tries to put a microphone in your face, just say taxation is theft.
Yes. Well, no. Well, yeah. See, next time I learn, the one thing I learned for next time, number one, is to never go outside without my phone so I can record at a moment's notice, number one. And also, anytime I do anything that could possibly draw attention to myself, never go anywhere without my Cell 411 panic button that the owner of Cell 411 Virgil was nice enough to send to me after everything that happened to me. And I tested it out right away and it worked wonderfully. So yeah, I learned that much and I will definitely put that to use. So yeah, if a news crew ever does show up for whatever reason, I plan to be able to record the entire incident as well. So as soon as they put their little story out, I could put mine out and go, okay, now here's what really happened. But since I mentioned Cell 401 and we are running out of time, I think here, but I might as well finish giving a plug for it. Of course, Cell 401 is the great app that we have spoken about a lot on this podcast and radio show that was designed by a very wonderful man, as far as I'm concerned. He's an acquired taste for some people, but yeah, Virgil Vidoof is a great guy, and he created the app with the purpose of trying to have people become less reliant on the monopolized services of the state, because it is designed for you to be able to create cells of individuals, whether it be your friends, family, neighbors, you know, just people closer by to you that you can call in a case of a myriad of emergencies, rather than reaching out to the police or, you know, if you have a state-run fire department, which I am against, not voluntary fire departments. Just a reminder, folks. Not against those. But anyway, yeah, so Cell 411 has, you know, great features and also has a ride share. It's also a ride-sharing app, which is awesome because it doesn't ask. You can actually pay in any form, not just cash or credit cards. You can actually barter with your driver if you wish. And Cell 401 doesn't take a cut of that like Uber and Lyft do. They're literally just trying to help connect people. So, yeah, so get Cell 411.com. All right. This has been great, Shane. Thanks for joining me tonight. Thanks, everybody, for listening. More of us, go to freedomfiends.com. Worms.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.